All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Very glad that you're here with us today. We're going to move on now. I think we're going to move on. I mean, we could just go on. We could just go on and on about the. I guess we'll finish. I'll finish up here in the 5 minutes about this assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Center. Again, I don't think it's necessary to like speculate. I think it all seems fairly clear cut what happened here. I don't know what the ulterior motive would be for staging this, except to build a ballroom that's already being built. That doesn't make any sense. So I think it pretty much happened as we think it happened. The question is, why is Trump so cavalier about his safety? Why is Secret Service allow him to, you know, be put in so much danger? And what the hell is up with these coincidences about the time traveling Pepe the Frog? This is actually very confusing and concerning and strange and very strange. It's all very strange. But let's go to clip number 23 here. This is Caroline Leavitt, and she made a couple good points here and a couple not very good points. Let's first go to clip. I don't know. I mean, we're in an increasingly tough spot, basically. So we can go to clip 23 here first. This is Caroline Leavitt earlier today.
When you read the manifesto of this shooter, ask yourselves, how different is the rhetoric from this almost assassin than what you read on social media and hear in various forums every single day? The answer, if you're being honest with yourself, is that there is no difference at all. Much of the manifesto of the would-be assassin is indistinguishable from the words that we hear daily from so many.
Okay, so, I mean, that's true. And at the same time, I don't want to give the government the right to say, oh, well, if we don't censor you, it's going to lead to violence. You're allowed to criticize people. But, like, there's got to be a middle ground. There's got to be a way that we can keep tabs on the people that are using this type of rhetoric, as well as look into like the finances of the people pushing this type of rhetoric. Because I feel like you'd find a bunch of intertwined criminality all throughout there. And, you know, maybe we'll get back into it, because once again, we're in a situation where with the left, they're insane. They're out there trying to kill people and actually killing people and doing all this stuff. And the right wingers won't do anything about it. Meanwhile, I've got all these stories about the revelations of exactly how and why the Biden administration basically tried to criminalize motherhood, you know? So it's like, I'm not saying I want to do something like criminalize motherhood. I'm just saying, if the left can go so far, can we not go a quarter that far? Okay, the left is insane, and they're literally just like, they want to destroy the right. So they're like, what do right wingers like? Mothers. Let's attack that. Oh, there are mothers that are concerned that we're poisoning the minds of their children. Let's destroy the mothers. Like, they're evil, but they're hardcore, and they go out of their way to try to win the battle of people's minds by like force if necessary. We just want people who are openly calling for assassinations to stop doing that, and we can't get it done. But here's Caroline Leavitt, and I think this is a great point. Clip 25 here, calling out Jimmy Kimmel.
For example, as the First Lady of the United States pointed out this morning, just 2 days prior to the shooting, ABC's late night host Jimmy Kimmel disgustingly called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. Who in their right minds says a wife would be glowing over the potential murder of her beloved husband?
And like, really, and really think about this, y'all. We can bring it down. And, you know, it's the obvious thing, but like, can you imagine a late night show host when Obama was president going, looking good, Michelle, your husband's going to be dead soon. Aren't you excited? Someone's going to kill the president, and I'm in favor of that. All jokes, right? No, you people are freaks.
I know he was a big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother. It looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is a final note about the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting last night, the attack against the Trump administration. I just thought this was very well said by Glenn Greenwald. And this was in response to somebody saying, basically criticizing Republicans for pointing out that, yeah, you've got an attempted murderer whose manifesto could have been ripped straight out of, Rachel Maddow's monologue. You've got a culture of celebrating death, celebrating assassinations. Actually, and look, I'm not blaming it on Israel. I'm just kidding. But what I'm thinking, what it's like, it is this mindset of, and it's what we've complained about when it comes to Israel forever, because you've got Israel who it's like, if you oppose us, then we deserve to kill you, right? If you have a copy of Mein Kampf, then it's a good thing that we burned your family alive. Like this death mindset that's so extreme and so poisonous that it inspires the opposite, that because of the rhetoric like that, you've got people on the other side going, oh, okay, if that's how it is, then we should kill all the Jews. And it's like, all right, well, now we're just in this back and forth cycle of murder and chaos and vindictiveness and victimhood. And it's just poison. It's just endless poison perpetuating each other. And I just see a similar thing happening here in America. And it's this shift of a mindset away from our traditional way. And I mean, again, it's like you look back in history, it's like no wonder the people that are here now are trying to like tear down the Confederate statues that were raised by the Union shortly after the Civil War. Because back when the Union Confederacy fought each other, sure, they were murdering each other. They were tearing each other's throats out on the battlefield. But when it was over, you shook hands and you had mutual respect for one another. That doesn't exist anymore. Now it's, murder them all, kill them all, tear down their statues, melt it down into some disgusting piece of modern art. It's this vicious, like they deserve it. Charlie Kirk questioned DEI, so he deserved to be murdered on live TV. Donald Trump, whatever, it was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, therefore his whole family deserves to be murdered. It's this extremism that's making its way into our country. And it's destroying the fabric of our country, like in a very, very, very serious way. And again, you would think that like decent Americans would be horrified by some of this stuff. You've got Jimmy Kimmel saying you look like an expectant widow. Again, like how crazy would it be for anybody during the Obama administration to be like, oh, you look nice, Michelle, you look like an expectant widow. Yeah, we think someone's going to kill your husband, and we're happy for that. We're excited for that. On national TV, A-list name recognition celebrity, Jimmy Kimmel, just like casually being like, yeah, we all want your husband dead, bleeding out in front of you. We want to watch him die, and you're supposed to laugh when I say that. Like, do you understand how poisonous these people are, these ideas are? So, it's not like, oh, you have to go to jail for insulting the president. That's seems like what they're setting up now. It seems like what Caroline Leavitt is hinting at. She's like, these you know, these ideas on social media that are being spread around. They sound like the guy who did violence. Therefore, I guess we have to, you know, censor social media to an even greater degree. No, we're not down with that. President Trump wants Kimmel fired for despicable call to violence. The first lady suggested ABC should take a stand against Jimmy Kimmel after the comments on his show's alternative White House Correspondents' Dinner speech ahead of the shooting at the event. I mean, he also made light of and lied about and mocked the death of Charlie Kirk. So yeah, something does have to be done about this. I don't know what exactly, but clearly there are too many people that are too brainwashed in this country to have the appropriate response that they should have, that anybody should have. They've been radicalized. They've been made into extremists. Which, and I see it everywhere, and I really do see just like the tide is rising. You know, all of these things are rising. The political violence, the justification for political violence, the dog-eat-dog, like, to-the-death, winner-takes-all mindset that we see in the Middle East, where it's just, okay, if you don't like me, then I have to kill you, and I'm going to kill your whole family, and, you know, lie about it. And it's just like, I mean, talk about malicious. So here's what Glenn Greenwald had to say about it. So again, you got people going, oh, it's dangerous for Republicans to say that it's Democrat rhetoric that's causing this. We don't need to listen to them. We literally just need to shut them up. I don't know when we're going to learn this lesson, but as soon as we do, everything will get better. As soon as we realize these people genuinely don't care about free speech, genuinely don't care about our rights. They don't care about the Bill of Rights. They don't give a damn about it. So like, it shouldn't apply to them. It's not that complicated, actually. And it's, again, kind of ubiquitous, kind of everywhere. Like when they're out there going, as soon as we get into office, we're going to arrest the Trump family. We're going to come up with crimes and throw them in jail. It's like the only responsible thing to do at that point is arrest those people. What are they going to say? Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. You can't arrest me for a political purpose. It's like, well, too bad. I just did. So again, when they wanted to, they got the entire academic industry in this country to bend to their will. Because it had to do with Israel, and they are willing to flex their muscles when it comes to Israel. So what did they do? They got in contact with Harvard and said, you change your curriculum, you change your guidelines, you change your mindset, or we're bankrupting you. And they changed their mindset. They have more tools available to them, the United States government, than you could ever possibly imagine. They will not use them to protect the American people. They will not use them to stop the violent rhetoric of the left. They will use them to stop rhetoric that's anti-Semitic. They will use them to deport people that are against Israel. They will use them to crush universities that aren't sufficiently pro-Israel. They are willing to use the powers of the federal government as long as it's not for the benefit of the American people. The instant that it's the American people that are being targeted, American people that are being lied about or threatened or victimized, then it becomes, well, you know, we got this free speech stuff and it's just, we just can't do anything about it. Or really, they're anti-Semitic. Oh, well, throw them in jail then. Throw them in jail immediately. So don't fall for the crap from the left. They don't care about free speech. They'll invoke it to try to get away with their crap, but they don't believe in it. So either we can stick to, you know, free speech, even when it's clearly being abused by people that are incapable of upholding it. Because that's the thing about freedoms, is you have to be worthy of them, obviously. And if we don't do something about stopping their insane propaganda they're filling children's heads with, then we're going to lose the First Amendment forever, right? So because we're unwilling to, you know, curtail the First Amendment for just obviously radical foreign communists trying to destroy our country, we cannot touch them. We cannot even moderately interfere with, you know, what they're doing. We have to fund it, actually. It has to be taxpayer dollars that pour into it, actually, forever. We have to fund the operation to kill all of us, or else we don't really believe in free speech and we're hypocrites. But if we're not willing to stop that drive, then we're going to actually lose free speech forever. So those are our options at this point. I don't know what everybody else feels about that, but that is how it is. That is just the facts of where we are at this point. So we can move ahead with that in mind, or we can pretend that's not the case and then die. And then we can die because they're going to kill us. And they're talking about it, and we're not doing anything about it. So what do you expect? Here's what Glenn Greenwald had to say. When a white supremacist gunned down 10 black people in a Buffalo supermarket in 2022, the New York Times, Jay Bowie, and other liberals blamed mainstream conservatives for, quote, inspiring anti-immigration views in whose name the shooter killed. Bowie claimed in the New York Times that the killer's manifesto was, quote, virtually indistinguishable from mainstream Republican rhetoric. The conservatives thus bear blame. Liberals wanted Jack Smith to prosecute Trump for the violence on January 6th based on the same theory that Trump, quote, inspired the January 6th violence because his speech inspired that violence and they acted in the name of Trump's repeated claim that the 2020 election was stolen. The right also embraces this theory as they're doing now, blaming liberals and Trump critics for last night's WHC the shooter because the would-be assassin's manifesto showed he acted in the name of common anti-Trump sentiments. Ironically, last night's shooter actually did read and liked many liberal statements, including those of Jamel Bowie, Will Stancil, and other partisan liberal luminaries. All of this is dumb. Words are not violence. You are not responsible for someone's violent act because they share some or even all of your views. The Supreme Court has repeatedly said that preserving the distinction between words and violence is vital for basic conceptions of free speech. See Claiborne versus NAACP, 1982. You allowed to express opposition to open borders, and you're allowed to express to criticize the American president even harshly without being held responsible if some lunatic uses violence in the name of your views. And he points out that in 2022, you had headlines like "The slaughter in Buffalo hasn't quieted the Great Replacement Caucus." Make no mistake, the idea that apparently inspired a white supremacist who's accused of injuring more than a dozen people last Saturday at a supermarket in Buffalo, that nefarious elites are using immigration to replace white Americans with pliant foreigners, is virtually indistinguishable from mainstream Republican rhetoric. Which I agree, you can't blame people for, rhetoric. But there's a little bit of a difference, though. I see a bit of a difference in a couple different ways. For one thing, the Great Replacement is real and is happening and is talked about and is obvious. And so essentially what they're saying in that case is stop telling the truth. It's inspiring people to attack us, which is a little bit different than stop lying. It's causing people to attack us. See, they want to silence the truth because if people knew the truth about things like the Great Replacement, they would be pissed off and they wouldn't stand for it. So they want to silence that. And they're going to blame the rhetoric about the Great Replacement for violence committed because it's convenient and they want to shut down that type of rhetoric about the Great Replacement. But the left's a little bit different. In fact, it's extremely different. And again, this really is a crucial difference between the right and the left. They have to understand. I know they portray the right wing as a bunch of stuff, but like, we genuinely don't want there to be violence. We genuinely don't want political assassinations to happen in this country, or non-political assassinations like what happened to Brian Thompson, the UnitedHealthcare CEO, who was killed by a Luigi character. We genuinely don't want that to happen and are genuinely against it happening. The left is not, and they celebrate it, and they laugh about it, and they mock it. And you just never see that the other way around. So it's not even necessarily like again, I would say when it comes to, Glenn Greenwald's thing, yes, it is ridiculous to say you're not allowed to talk about the racial replacement taking place in your country because some guy shot up a supermarket, happened to agree with you. That's obviously ridiculous. On the other hand, you've got people like Jimmy Kimmel, one of the top, 100 most recognizable names in America. There's not a lot of people who've been on national TV for the last 30 years like he has. And he's up there making jokes, quote unquote jokes, about how Melania's about to be a widow. So again, you can't act like it's like, well, you know, the Republicans, they discuss the fact that demographic change is being foisted on white people against their will. And the left wing goes on TV and openly brags about how they want Trump to die. And these are the same. No. These are not the same. These are completely different. And you have to use discrimination and discernment to tell which one is bad and which one is not bad. People recognizing they're being attacked demographically and replaced in their own country and saying, hey, we're against this. That's not a bad thing. A major, prominent, popular figure in America openly and in not a joking way, but in all seriousness, approving of an assassination against the president, like that's something entirely different. Do we not get this? Is this hard to understand? I swear this is like such a constant thing forever. People just don't know how to like look at things principally. Or you just look at what is actually happening. It's like people can't do it. Again, you cannot imagine. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of just like relearning all this stuff after the Charlie Kirk murder. Because I remember in my own life, I had people who are like normal people. They're like mothers. You wouldn't expect them. But there's like, well, you know, Charlie Kirk, maybe he shouldn't have said some of the things he said. I'm like, well, you know, he was the one that downplayed gun violence. And it's like, you think you deserve to die? Because he said, yeah, guns are violent, but it's still important that we have them. So he deserved to be shot in the head. When you've got, like, and these, you know, if you were to ask, like, are you a radical? They're like, I'm the farthest thing from a radical. Absolutely not. Okay, you just think that, like, political violence is, like, kind of understandable. Like, a young father should be murdered in front of his children. It's just like, that's kind of just what he gets for disagreeing with you. Like, do they not realize how far gone they are at this point? So in a way, I'm really not interested in talking to those people. They are actual cattle. Okay? Like they actually don't have souls. I'm not even kidding with you. I think if people can watch what happened to Charlie Kirk and just go, well, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said what he said. Like I consider those people not worthy of life. Charlie Kirk would never say anything like that. That sentiment alone makes those people so much worse than Charlie Kirk ever could have possibly been. I think it kind of puts them on the level of like Hitler, but like, I don't know. I think they're worse than Hitler. Hitler at least tried to get the Jews to move away before killing them. They just think you deserve to die because of a mild disagreement, because you don't understand the things that Charlie Kirk talked about. So therefore he deserves to die. And I genuinely don't know what it's going to take for people to understand where we are in this country and what it's going to take to get back. Because the good news about that is those people who in any normal circumstance would seem like a lovely, upstanding, you know, generous person, but they're willing to like kill Charlie Kirk. The thing is they genuinely, literally do not think for themselves. They don't have thoughts. They don't have opinions. They don't have views on things. They are repeater stations. They are puppets. They are logs. They're nothing. So the good news is if you just feed different information into their phone or TV, they will think different things. They didn't come to these conclusions on their own volition. They didn't look at what Charlie Kirk said, research the evidence, found that he was wrong and that he was extreme. And then they came to a conclusion that like, wow, this guy's really dangerous. And like, we would be better off if he wasn't around. They don't come to these conclusions. They don't make these connections. They see other people say that Charlie Kirk was bad, so they say Charlie Kirk was bad. And they say he was bad, and then he died, so I guess I'm not that sad. It never even really occurs to them that like what they're saying is that by disagreeing with him, somebody deserves death, but that is what they're saying. They don't even realize that. They don't know. They're cattle. They're dumb. They have to be just given different information, and they'll just believe something different. They have to be given the accurate information. If instead their news feeds were filled with people explaining the incompetency of DEI and the great replacement from a perspective of empathy with the white people than the exact same people that were justifying Charlie Kirk's murder or cheering on the wannabe assassin last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. They'll be on our side and fighting just as viciously for us rather than against us. It's all of just what's being fed into their brains. Do we understand? So, like, in this country right now, we are surrounded by psychopaths that don't even realize they're psychopaths, that have no idea that what they believe is, like, shocking and horrifying and unlike anything that has come before in this country or really a lot of other places. So, like, it's up to us. It's up to the people that actually believe in America, that believe in the Constitution, that believe in Christianity, that understand the deeper purpose of life and understand, you know, downstream consequences and the moral underpinnings of the universe that say, hey, just because you can kill the negotiators, you just shouldn't. And just because you can, you know, execute the hostages, like, just maybe don't. And just because you could use an excuse to silence your enemy because he disagrees with you, you just shouldn't do it. And I've been having this argument, and I swear it's, you either have this ability to have this mindset like you are a real human being or you're just not. And that really is sort of my dichotomy at this point, because over the weekend there was this account named Junior, spelled with a V, who was removed from making money on X because Nikita Beer, the community manager on X, is a diehard Zionist Jew that is using his power to silence people that are anti-Israel. Now, they're doing it under the cover of, like, well, we're just trying to stop, like, news aggregators or, like, AI people. But it's not news aggregators and AI. It's people who make original content but that are anti-Israel. And it's just obvious what's happening. And so I post a post basically saying, hey, this Junior guy has given me a lot of good content recently. And he has, like, a lot of videos I've shown come from that Junior account. And I'm like, this guy is like, he does not deserve. Basically, we have this community note system on X. If he gets something wrong, then he won't get money for that post. It'll get community noted and he'll probably end up having to take it down. That's what it's there for. And it works. We do not need, on top of that, X employees applying their own filter and basically determining who we are and are not allowed to read. That's ridiculous. So I post a thing in defense of this, Junior account. And I have so many people commenting to me being like, you idiot. I can't believe you're defending this guy, you idiot. And they'll post a collection of posts that where Junior, this account who's Muslim, has talked trash about Christianity. And it's one of these things that I get why they're sending it to me, but it's not me that doesn't understand. It's you that don't understand. I've said horrible things about Islam. I'm still defending an Islam person because it's a principle, because it's free speech. But people actually send that expecting me to be like, oh, he's anti-Christian, then he doesn't deserve free speech. Oh, it goes against my immediate self-interest, then I guess I don't have principles. And I guess I am in favor of people being censored because they don't like me in particular. That's not how I think. That's not how decent people think. It's not how Americans think. That's kind of the point. He doesn't like Christians? Good, let him say it. Let him tell me. I'd love to hear it. But people have this idea that it's like, oh, he's against me personally, then I don't care about his rights and I want him destroyed. That's you people. That's the short-sighted animals. I'm a human being, a real one, a real human being.
Hands down, this is the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. And it just so happens Bigly lined this up for this week with all these products that just came in a month ago. And so it's fitting that at the closing of the original InfoWars, we're doing this blowout. So I looked at the sale yesterday that they were set up. I said, this is the biggest sale ever. I said, you got to call it, you know, the Last Stand InfoWars Mega Blowout Sale. And so this is hands down the biggest ever. This happens every month where there's a one-week period where you can win both of the cars in the sweepstakes, the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer, $20,000 cash. Every order, every dollar spent, you put in 100 times. That's only the last week. That goes till next Friday to win these. And most people that win do it in the last week. Just a little tip. We're also giving you free $10 to use on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. That offer ends tonight. free InfoWars dog tag. It's a cool InfoWars limited edition dog tag. There's only 3,000 of these, but the next 3,000 orders get one thrown in free. And I got some methylene blue on that, sorry. But if you look right here, overhead shot, you see InfoWars with the Betsy Ross flag. And on the back, stained by methylene blue, you are the resistance. So it's a cool little memento that's thrown in as well. But then it just gets even more crazy. There's a pre-sale. You're coming in a few weeks, but for any InfoWars items, you got to get them in the next 4 days. Silver round and Faraday bag, just like the last Faraday bag that sold out in 3 days. It's the same Faraday bag, but it has the Punisher on it, saying resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. That is a huge value. And you get a limited edition InfoWars silver round coin with it for $249. These bags sell in stores for $400, $500 all day. Protects all your electronics. You can't be tracked with it. So that is so essential. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. You are the resistance. And the limited edition final InfoWars coin. That is an amazing deal. And VIPs get it even at a lower price. And then InfoWars product fundraiser. April 30th is your last chance to get official InfoWars products. We'll still be battling them in court, but I'd say about a 90% chance that's the end of the original InfoWars logos, t-shirts, ball caps, all of it. The InfoWar is eternal and continues on, but InfoWars.com, that incarnation will be seized by the bad guys, the Bloomberg-funded, vowed Satanist over at The Onion. So take advantage of that. Get all the t-shirts, ball caps, everything right now. And there's other big sales on the incredible methylene blue, bovine colostrum, methylene red, and everything else. But now is the time, a major fundraiser. And this is only running through Thursday night at midnight. And then one more day, you can be put in to win both the vehicles on Friday. So there's a lot of overlapping sales here. The $10 at checkout automatically taken off your bill. That's been running since last Thursday. That ends tonight. There's a whole bunch of sales, new sales being added every day. So be sure and check the alexjonesstore.com. And right there on the main page, you can also watch and listen to the show and find the show at thealexjonesstore.com. So that is a one-stop shop jump point in the fight against the globalists. So take action now. Thealexjonesstore.com. You're the reason we fought through all this and never surrendered, leaving it all in the field. And we're going to be doing reviews of the great history of InfoWars, incredible victories we've had together coming out in the next few days. But this is a victory, not a time of sorrow. We have wrecked the enemy, and we've just got it started. We'll be right back. Now go to thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In 2024, I voted for two things, all right? I voted to go to war with Iran and to build a ballroom, okay? And as long as Trump can get those two things done, I mean, nothing else matters, I'm pretty sure. I know I speak for all of us, Trump supporters, when I said in 2024 we were promised two distinct things. We were promised war with Iran that we'd lose. We wanted to lose a war with Iran, and we wanted to build a ballroom. And those are the only things that matter, folks. Other than that, deportations, who cares? Am I right? Getting rid of the welfare state and the hundreds of billions of dollars that are stolen from us. Small potatoes. We want a ballroom, Trump. We want a ballroom, and we want it now. And we want it to be big and magnificent. Okay? We want it golden. All right? This is what we care about. As Americans, we want to see gold-plated ballrooms for you to have parties in. Okay, the rest of us can suffer and die. Thank you very much. We want that ballroom. We want to expand FISA, absolutely. We definitely want to drop the investigation into John Brennan, get that out. We don't want him punished for anything ever. We want the ballroom, and we want to lose a war to Iran, and by golly, Trump is delivering. Is he not? And that's just, I don't think it's just me. I think we're all on that same page, right? Aren't we? Aren't we all on that page that all we really want was to have the Epstein class protected from any consequences for their actions? We want the truth about the Epstein files to be buried completely. We want a big-ass ballroom for Trump to have a party in, okay? That's all we want. And this is sort of the thing, I guess you could say. I guess you could say this is what you might call the thing about all of this. It ain't just Trump. It is the Republican Party. It's inexplicable what they're deciding to focus their energy on and spend their time doing. There's not one thing I can point to that could even accidentally benefit the American people. Trump and the Republicans are just doubling down and hitting hyperspeed in their drive to do everything that we elected them not to do, to do everything that our enemies want them to do. It is truly absurd. This article from Politico: it's going to be a circus inside Mike Johnson's grueling week. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he's got a grueling week ahead of him with all the legislation going on. Okay, the speaker has to rescue a contested spy law, fund immigration enforcement, pass a farm bill, host a king, and deal with the fallout from the White House correspondence dinner. It's another grueling week in the House. Here's the issue. Here's the thing that I was referencing earlier. None of these things are good. None of the things, it's like, oh, I got a big week ahead of me. You know, the contested spy law, that's the Pfizer warrants where the domestic spy agencies who are prevented by law in the Constitution from spying on the American people, they spy on the American people anyway. And Trump literally wrote, I'm willing to give up your liberties for more FISA court warrants, even though he himself was a victim of the FISA court. Okay, so it's not like Mike Johnson's out there trying to stop the spy agencies from running roughshod over the Fourth Amendment and destroying our civil liberties. No, he's trying to expand it and codify it and protect them when they're doing that. Okay, so that's completely the diametric opposite of what we wanted and what Trump apparently wanted, because he himself was a victim and a target of FISA that he complained about many, many times before. Something has changed. Something in the meantime has seriously changed, okay? Fund immigration enforcement, but not deportations. And in fact, it's the Republicans that are the ones trying to pass the Dignitas Act to give citizenship to all of the illegal immigrants that flooded the border in the last couple years. So we're not getting deportations. We're not getting anything, really. I don't even know what funding the immigration enforcement even means when there's no immigration enforcement going on. Pass a farm bill. Okay, but not for the farmers, not to get money to the farmers. No, to make illegal the ability of farmers to sue for the cancer that they're getting because of the Roundup and the glyphosate that they're being forced to use by other laws in the farm bill. Host a king, again, who cares? Put him in prison. And deal with the fallout from the White House correspondence dinner, which should look something like a massive program to try to de-radicalize the insane leftists that keep committing regular acts of violence against right-wingers. Do you think that's going to be the solution, or do you think they're literally going to give power to the leftists? They're going to actually, like, write laws that destroy the First Amendment and that are going to open up the door for the left to say, well, if you're going to pass laws against the First Amendment, I guess we are too. You're no longer, you know, it'll actually be illegal to, I don't know, advocate for the continuing existence of white people or whatever. So this is what I mean. It's like, oh, Mike Johnson's got a busy week screwing over the American people, you know? Gosh, how's he going to get done all of this screwing of us? It's really a big, you know, order to fill. You got to let the government spy on us without warrants. You got to poison our farmers. You got to, you know, fund the left and stop ICE from actually protecting us. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on here. It's just none of it is even remotely good for the American people. Not even by accident. It's crazy, but that's just how it is. So, again, people are like, oh, you got to vote for Republicans. Why? So we can get this? So we can get less than no action on immigration? We can get our party actually trying to pass the Dignity Act? Great. Are you going to protect our farmers, or are you going to sell them out to a foreign corporation, Bayer Monsanto, so they can be poisoned to death and not even have their families, you know, be able to get the funeral costs paid for? So what is the argument exactly here? It is totally insane. Somebody wrote online, I forget who it was, but I retweeted it, that more California teachers have tried to kill President Trump than Iranians. You might want to change the focus of your administration away from the foreign powers that aren't threatening us to the domestic issues that are. Just a suggestion. But of course, it's, if we don't vote for Republicans, then who is going to guarantee that the IDF soldiers get to retire off American taxpayer dollars? I mean, this is the important stuff that the Republican Party is dedicating its time to. We have got to be on the hook for 20,000 IDF soldiers. I mean, they're going to need a lot of help, right? I mean, you get done as an IDF soldier, you've got PTSD from all of the children that you've killed, or you think it's great and fun, and maybe it's just all a bonus on top of it. But I guess we'll be on the hook for that. We'll be responsible for paying the wages and the retirement and the healthcare for Israeli soldiers fighting an Israeli war for Israeli benefits, but we'll let them retire here, and we'll give them a pension, and we'll pay it out, because obviously our veterans are doing amazing. You know, our veterans are all living in mansions. It's not like we have a major problem with the veterans in our country not getting the help they need, not getting the health care that they deserve, since they put their lives on the line for our country, not a foreign one. You would think that that would be a priority of the Republican Party, since this is such a major problem that's gone on for so long and is dire and demands dramatic activity from the government to correct the problem that they themselves created. But no, they're going to give pensions to the IDF soldiers because F you, because that's why. And so now the Supreme Court is hearing arguments in a landmark Roundup weed killer case. A victory for the manufacturer Bayer could end thousands of lawsuits against the company claiming that the herbicide causes cancer, because it does cause cancer. Because the herbicide causes cancer, which is why you have thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of people who got cancer because of it suing Monsanto, Bayer Monsanto, who combined along with a bunch of other companies in a rapid consolidation that occurred around 2018. There was a big protest against this. It was called People Versus the Poison. And Thomas Massey was there giving a speech, as well as others. Let's go first to clip 17 here. Two congressmen were leading this. It was Republican Thomas Massey and Democrat Chelly Pingtree. Here's Chelly Pingtree, clip 17, talking about blocking Monsanto from getting immunity to mass poison all of the American farmers. Let's watch.
My colleague from Kentucky, Thomas Massey, and to be co-sponsoring this important amendment. But let's just say it. We are all here today because we believe no corporation should be able to poison people and then run for protection of the Supreme Court and Congress. And we know that's exactly what Bayer is trying to do. They have 53 well-paid lobbyists and are spending millions of dollars lobbying Congress. And that is not to make their products safer. No, it's to protect themselves. They care about their corporate bottom line, and that is it. If their product makes you sick, they don't want to pay up, and they don't want to take responsibility. So we have to fight like hell to keep that from happening. Yeah. And that is why we're all here. Thank you to everybody who's been joining that fight. They have the money, but we have the people, and we can win. Last December, I fought to remove a similar protection that was in the appropriations bill. And thank you to your phone calls and your emails and your messages and contacting Congress, we won. But of course, Bayer's back. this time with the full-throated support of the Trump administration at the Supreme Court. This administration, unfortunately, has supported this appeal at the Supreme Court, and they even went so far to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost production of glyphosate. And right now, the other fight we're in today is that Bayer got Republicans to jam this liability shield into the farm bill. And I fought that in our committee to get that language removed. And once again, every single Republican and one Democrat on the House committee voted to keep it in. But no Republican or Democrat can tell you that if they support Make America Healthy Again, they vote for chemicals at the same time. They do not care for the health of our kids or the health of our farmers. This should not be a partisan issue, and I have been so proud to work with so many of the speakers and the advocates and the leaders here today. Thank you, Kelly, Bonnie, Zen, everyone who's here today. You're doing amazing work, and everyone who's showed up today is incredible. As you've heard so many people say, we don't have to agree on everything, but we are on the same side when it fights to fighting for people over poisons. And I just want you to know, I have been in these fights for a very long time, long before there was a MAHA movement, and I am so excited to have the cavalry coming in today and joining this fight. I have been an organic farmer in Maine since the 1970s. And no one can tell me or the other farmers here today that we can't grow food without all of these toxic chemicals. For me, this lifelong fight has been to make sure that everyone has access to healthy food without toxic chemicals, and every farmer has the resources that they need to farm organically and regeneratively. Cancer is not partisan. So, Congress has to make a choice, and today, as you heard, across the street, the Rules Committee will decide whether the amendment I co-sponsor with Representative Massey, the Pingree-Massey Protect Our Health Amendment, will even be allowed for a vote on the House floor. Our amendment is super simple. It takes the Bayer immunity language out of the Farm Bill, and it lets state and local governments decide how pesticides are used in their community. Any Farm Bill that protects chemical companies over American families is not pro-farmer, it's not pro-health, it's not pro-America, is a giveaway to big chemical. And I'll promise you one more thing. When EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin testifies before the Appropriations Subcommittee this afternoon at 4 o'clock, you can be damn sure I will hold his feet to the fire about his hypocrisy and ask him directly about what he is going to do to protect us from toxic chemicals. We don't win this fight without all of you. You've got members of Congress who are ready to fight. We're going to do the right thing today, but we can't win without the people. So, people over poison, we are going to win!
So, again, there you see Del Bigtree saying next to her, that was the people versus the poison protest outside the Supreme Court as they decide whether or not to give immunity to the producers of glyphosate for the cancer that they cause to thousands and thousands of American farmers. And Politico has the headline, "The MAHA Revolt Threatening the Farm Bill. Factions of Republican dissenters mean GOP leaders will need to lean on votes from a handful of vulnerable or moderate Democrats to pass a key policy priority. Republican infighting between two important constituencies, the agricultural sector and the MAHA coalition, is threatening a passage of a bill leaders are counting on to help woo rural voters ahead of the midterms." But this is a false presentation of this. The agricultural sector versus MAHA. The agricultural sector does not want to be poisoned, actually. The agricultural sector doesn't want to be forced to buy products that require they use poisonous glyphosate, herbicides, or pesticides. The agricultural sector that they're referring to here is not the farmers and the rural voters. It's Monsanto and Bayer chemical companies. That's the agricultural sector that they're talking about. They're talking about the industrial agricultural lobby that is paid by the chemical companies and is trying to indemnify themselves against suffering the consequences from literally poisoning the agricultural sector. Okay, so that is a misrepresentation of the divide here, as if it's MAHA moms against farmers, as if farmers are just like, please just let us grow crops, and MAHA moms are just like, no, you're not allowed to grow crops. It's like, no, Monsanto is giving farmers cancer and MAHA is on the side of the farmers and against Monsanto. But Politico is blurring that line, confusing that dichotomy for some reason, for some suspicious reason. House GOP leaders hope this week to advance a long-stalled farm bill that will secure a slew of industry and rural investments. They see a political incentive to move quickly now to shore up farm country support in advance of November elections, plus heed calls from President Trump's to, quote, pass the farm bill now. The farm bill traditionally comes to the floor with bipartisan support, but House Democrats this time, are largely opposed to the package because it does not reverse the massive cuts to the country's largest food aid program enacted by last year's GOP mega bill. That's putting extra pressure on Republicans to see it over the finish line amid intra-party disagreements over provisions related to pesticides, livestock laws, and ethanol sales. MAHA activists feel betrayed after voting for Trump in hopes that his administration would crack down on chemical exposure they blame for driving up chronic illnesses and disease. And now these activists are so fed up that they've turned to working with a group of House Democrats to strip out the language, according to four people granted anonymity to share private discussions. Several Republicans who wield enormous power in Speaker Mike Johnson's razor-thin majority could try to tank the entire bill if the procedure, if the provision is not removed. So yeah, we should obviously all be against this provision. And they aren't trying to help farmers. They're literally using farmers as hostages. They're basically saying, well, if you don't let us indemnify the chemical companies and allow them to poison you, then the farms will go out of business. So they have a gun to the head of American farmers, and they're basically saying, let us poison these people or we'll kill them. And then they're claiming that they're the ones fighting for the farmers and that they need to get this passed so that the farmers will vote for them. I hope farmers aren't voting for their own cancer. I mean, that's the dichotomy here. The Republicans are on the side of the cancer. The MAHA moms are having to work with the Democrats because they at least are not on the side of cancer. So there's that. Let's go now to clip 27. This is Thomas Massie at the same event giving his perspective in a speech.
Representing Kentucky's 4th District and an engineer, farmer, and inventor, please give it up for Thomas Massie.
Americans are under attack. There are four fronts to this war with the German company. They're attacking our executive branch, our legislative branch at the state level, our legislative branch here in Washington, D.C., and the courts. And what do they want? They want get out of court free cards. We're not going to give it to them.
No!
Was the EPA established to protect the environment and the people, or was it established to protect foreign corporations when they harmed the environment and the people?
No!
Listen, we are under attack on all of these fronts. My colleague Shelley Pingree and I are working in the House of Representatives on one front. We've offered legislation called the No Immunity for Glyphosate Act. But it shouldn't even be necessary. We haven't repealed the 10th Amendment. We haven't repealed the 7th Amendment, your right to a jury trial. We haven't repealed the 1st Amendment, the right of people to say what's in a product. These things have not been repealed. But we're in jeopardy today. Those amendments to the Constitution, those three elements of the Bill of Rights are in jeopardy here. Is the Supreme Court today, are they going to gag state judges? Are they going to disband state juries? Are they going to shutter the state courts where justice should be served? And if they do, are they proposing to hear these cases on their own? No. They're proposing that nobody gets any justice. This is regulatory capture. It is corrupt.
Yeah.
The White House chief of staff worked for a lobbying firm that accepted money from Monsanto Bayer, and that is wrong. That is why we have an executive order that we are fighting. The federal government, and especially the executive branch, do not have this power to issue these get-out-of-court free cards, and we're going to fight it. Thank you, and God bless.
So there you go. Very accurate and rousing speech from Thomas Massie. And once again, we just see that the real division is between the deep state uniparty and everybody else. And on basically on every, you know, major topic, it's pretty obvious where the division lies, right? The people don't want to go to war with Iran. Guess what? We're going to war with Iran. People don't want Monsanto to be able to poison you and not be able to be sued for it, but it's probably going to happen anyway. So I know there's a lot of doubt about the feasibility of a third party. I think this is an opportunity to really break with the old system that is so clearly non-functional at this point. I mean, if we had a party that was like on the side of the people in all of these divisions, could we not work together with the Democrats? Can we look at each other and go, hey, do you want Monsanto to be able to poison farmers? No, great. We're on the same side. Do you want America to be waging wars overseas for psychotic, genocidal Jewish supremacists in Israel? No, great. Then let's come together and focus on American domestic issues. Is this really that crazy of an idea? And Thomas Massie seems to be sort of, you know, leading the way on this. And he also, of course, you know, perfectly on point. And I'll show the clip in the first 5 minutes of the next hour, whether he's talking about the FISA warrants or the surveillance happening by AI that'll be mandated in every new car ever built and already is to a certain degree. The man just knows how to keep his eye on the ball and land on the right side of all of these decisions. Now, of course, the real challenge in all of this is getting the left to come along with some common sense, reality-based policies. That's a bit of a harder story. But at least in like most of these major topics, like deportations would be the one where we'd be split. But again, could we not come to some sort of understanding where we go, look, we understand you want all these government programs. We don't, but you have to understand that it's impossible to do with infinite immigration. So like one of us has to give something up. How about we both give up a little bit and we stop the wholesale destruction of our entire country right out in front of all of us? Because they're only able to achieve it through the divide and conquer strategy that they have perfected over the last century. More in the third hour still to come. I'll show that another video from Thomas Massie talking about FISA. I do want to remind you, this is the best mega sale in InfoWars history, which is saying something. It is the biggest and most monumental sale and probably the last sale in InfoWars history. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting massive discounts. It is your last week to get this merchandise.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.